we had started discussing some of the malachas, but I would like to make a switch now within Hilchos Shabbos. But this last Shabbos morning, before davening, I spoke about a specific inyan in Hilchos Tchumen, so it got me a little bit into Tchumen. So I'd like to. There's a lot of stuff in Hilchos Tchumen, including inyanim that are nogei l'maisa, and maybe less some of it's less known about. So I'd like to go a little bit into that inyan of Tchum Shabbos, with your permission. And so, to be perfectly honest, I was quite busy up to and including tonight. But I have notes here, and hopefully from the notes, and that'll give actually maybe more structure than some other times, because these are notes from a shiur that I once gave a series of shiurim on Tchumen. Okay, and I didn't even realize until it didn't even occur to me until a few minutes ago. It's mamish this week's parsha B'shalach, right? Says Shvu Ish Tachtov by the Mon, when they got the Mon. It says Shvu Ish Tachtov Al Yetze Ish Min Mekomo by Yom HaShvi. Right? That's this week's parasha, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So from that pasuk, Chazal learned two things. Shvu Ish Tachtov, that's a smach or remez, or at least a partial source for the idea of Tchum Shabbos of Alpayim Amma, 2,000 Amos. The standard Tchum Shabbos is 2,000 Amos, which is also equal to 1 mil. The pasuk is, I mean, exactly. Let's make this a complete service. Parshas B'Shalach, here we go. Here. It's in Perek Tes Zayin. Pasuk Chof Tes. It's in Shishi. So they were given the mon, and they were told that on Shabbos there will not be any mon. They'll get on Erev Shabbos, on Friday, Lechem Yomoyim, they'll get twice as much as they need for the day. And part of it is for Friday, and part of it is for Shabbos. And it says that some people went out, Vayihi Bayom HaShvi, it says right before that in Pasuk Chavav, Chavzayin, Vayihi Bayom HaShvi, happened on Shabbat, Yotzu Min Ha'am Lilkot. Some people went out to gather mon. V'lo Matza'u, but they did not find any. And Moshe said to them, or Hashem said to Moshe, Adona Me'antem, how long are you going to avoid following the Torah? Re'u, Ki Hashem, Nasan Lechem HaShabbos, therefore, he gives you on Friday, Lechem Yomoyim, Shvu Ish Tachtov, stay in your place, Al Yetze Ish Mimakomo Bayom HaShvi. So, one of the things the Chazal learn out from here, Al Yetze Ish Mimakomo, it's brought in the Rashi, right here. Look at that. You don't have to go any further than Rashi on the Pasuk. I'll go first to the Rashi's out of order, because Shvu Ish Tachtov, Al Yetzi Ish Mimkomo. So Al Yetzi Ish Mimkomo, Eilu Alpayim Amashel Tchum Shabbos. This is Rashi. Rashi's quoting the Gemara that says this is a source for the Alpayim Amma of Tchum Shabbos. There's a Gemara in Erevin. Okay. And Rashi says, V'lo b'mafurash, she'ein Tchum in Elam Adivri Sofrim. And we'll get to where Tchum is the Raisa Derabanan. Really, the pasuk is more directly talking to the people collecting mon. What are you doing? Stay home. Why are you leaving your house in Shabbos with a basket to collect the mon? Stay home. But it's a smach for alpay mama. And the earlier Rashi shvu ish tachtov mikan samchu chachamim dalad amis four amis liyotze chutz litchum. If a person left his tchum, the halacha is, wherever he ends up, he has only dalet amos, four amos he has. In other words, he can't walk any more 2,000 amos because he left. He left the 2,000 amos that were allotted to him, and that's whether he left willingly or unwillingly. For the fact, the first mishnah in the fourth parak of the Erevin discusses the idea that even if a person is taken out by bandits, he's like kidnapped or whatever, or forced out by people of ill repute and ill deeds, he's forced out of the tchum, or he goes out because he became a little meshuga and he wasn't in control of what he was doing, and he walked out of the tchum, and then he comes back to his senses and sees he's outside of his tchum, He gets Dalet Amos.
What do you mean? Like he can only walk in those four.
Yes. Days. Well, again, maybe a little more specific, but he can only walk, stay within four Amos. Yes.
Huh.
And that comes from this Pashuk. Shvu ish tachtav. Stay where you are. Tachtav means Dalet Amos. Why Rashi says here, on this Pashuk here.
So that's the Oraita.
Well, which is 1 second. He says, Gimel Gufo, 3 amas is approximately a person's height. The echel lepishes yadayim v'raglayim, plus another amah that he could stretch a little. So he could lie down and stretch out. He doesn't have to feel so restricted.
It's the Rashi.
Now, but it doesn't mean it's necessarily mamish deoraisa. It's not mefurash in the pasuk, right? The pasuk is a remez, is a, like we say, it might be asmat, what the Gemara calls asmachta, right? A
hint.
Right, and a source, but not a source, a anchor for the chacham to be able to make a gzer and say, oh, there's the Torah alludes to such an idea. The Torah alludes to the idea, so it gives the chacham more of a right to make the din. Okay. Now, okay. So we said now this is a machlokes tanoim whether this is the Araisa or the Rabbanan. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Meir hold that it's the Araisa, but most Tanam hold it's the Rabbanan. And Lahalacha, in terms of the Rishonim, most of the Rishonim hold not like Rabbi Akiva and like Rabbi Meir. Most Rishonim hold like the Tanoim, Paskan like the Tanoim, that it's not, it's the Rabbanan. And that's how we pass on Lamaisa, that the idea of Tchum of 2,000 Amos, the fact that a person is limited to 2,000 Amos, is a din derabana. But there's another concept of Tchum. There's a Mishnah actually in Masecha Sota that talks about a Tchum of 12 mil. Now remember, I said before, 2,000 Amos is 1 mil. So this is 12 times as the size. There's a tchum of Yud Beis Mil, and that tchum of Yud Beis Mil. Now that tchum is actually, the truth is that I said Sota. I mean, in Sota talks, you have the other machlokes tanam. There's really in the Talmud Bavli, it's not even mentioned. The Ramban says this. The Ramban says this at the end of the first parak that there is no mentioned in Talmud Bavli about the concept of a tchum of Yud Beis Mil, but it comes from a Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi learns it out from the Machne Yisrael. The Machne Yisrael in the Midbar was Gimel Parsos, or 12 mil. Parsos, 4 mil. So the Machne Yisrael, where they encamped when they were in the desert, was an area of 12 mil. And the Yerushalmi darshans from this pasuk, Al Yetzei Ish Mimakomo, referring to the Machne Yisrael. Don't leave the Machane. Al Yetzish Mimakomo. We brought it a smacht that Al Yetzish Mimakomo means Dalet Amos. The Yerushalmi learns from here a smacht to the idea that of Al Yetzish Mimakomo is don't leave the Machane. And yeah. And the Yerushalmi.
What was the Makar for 2,000 Amos?
The Chazal was Samech on the Pasuk of Shu Ish Tachtav. I'm sorry, in the Bavli, they learn from Al Yetzish Mimakomo that refers to 2,000 Amos.
Well, here at least you're saying that the size of the Machna and the Midbar was 12,000.
Right, well, they're not Darshning Mikomo to mean the Machna. That's the Yishalmi's Darshning. Mikomo means Machna Israel.
But why dot the 2,000 Amos?
Why 2,000 Amos? Let's see if you remember where they get 2,000 Amos from. 1 second. I don't remember if it says, let's see if we have a Gemara here.
Mar Shabbos?
Actually, Erev.
Oh,
here. Is that Erev also? On top, do I have it?
Okay,
okay. Let us check this out. Rashi says it's on Daf Membov. Daf Nun Aleph. Daf Nun Aleph. Let's see if. Okay. Gemara says, Hani al pai mama hechan ksivin. Gemara nun aleph amad aleph in Erevin. Where is 2,000 amas written? Desanya, shvu ish tachtav, elu arba amas, al yeitzish mekomo, elu al pai mama. So the Gemara, makes a whole drush, minolan, how do we know it's al pai mama? How do we know that mekomo means al pai mama? So it makes a long drush. Amar av chizda, lamadu mako mi mako, Umakom minisa, venisa minisa, venisa migvul, gvul migvul, gvul michutz, vichutz michutz. That's it. And the Gemara brings a number of psukim there where it's like a long chain of gzeirah shava. So you could.
So what's the original? What's the original one?
Well, the pasuk again is ayetish mi mekomo, but the word mekomo is learned down from where it says makom elsewhere, and there it says the word Nisa, and the word Nisa is written by the word Gvul, and Gvul is written by etc. You can take a look here at the Gemara here. Daf Nun Aleph Amud Aleph is a Rashi here, right? Here, so the Rashi explains what the steps are.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Okay. So, but the Yerushalmi says Mekomo refers to the Machne Yisrael, and therefore the Yerushalmi says there's a concept of Yud Beis Mil. Now, according to the Yerushalmi, that's Mamasha Deraisa. The Yerushalmi learns that the din that you're not allowed to move out of 12 mil, that's Taka Min HaTorah, right? Meaning, Min HaTorah, you're not limited to 2,000 amas, to 1 mil, but you are limited to 12 mil.
So like 12 mil, it's a big distance. It's like
it's
12 kilometers.
It's somewhere around 8 miles.
Yeah.
Okay.
So today, if somebody were going to hospital outside of that,
I mean, there's one of the things we'll see, Hashem, is that if you live in a city, you don't just start counting from your own two feet. Exactly. You count for the edge of the city. But yes, if a person would leave what's called the city and go into an area where he starts counting the tchum, if it would be 8 mil, it would be, at 12 mil, somewhere around the 8 mile mark, he's running into a question of a derisa. Okay. Now, so what's the halach about that? What's the halach about that? So the Rambam holds that 12 mil is takadar derisa. The Rambam, the Rif, the Rush, and the Torah hold not like that. And they hold that even 12 mil, not like the Yerushalmi, the halach, even 12 mil only is not min haTorah.
If you look, the Russian was.
The Russian, the Tor, his son. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tov Dalid, let's see how the Shulchan Aruch phrases it there. Siman Tov Dalid. So the Shulchan Aruch here is talking about the idea of whether or not tchum applies above 10 tfachim. Let's see, if a person would be able to hop on posts that are above 10 tfachim and he would never go down within 10 tfachim on the ground, would he be bound by tchum altogether? It's a shayla in the Gemara. It's something that that maybe we'll also be able to get to. It could be no gay in some cases. But anyway, the Shulchan is talking about that. And so what does the Shulchan say? Since it's a suffek, it's a shayla, haray's a suffek, imi yish tchumin, l'mal ha-mitzar, u'ma sheyihye b'durabanan. So to the extent that involves only a durabanan, yes, sveiko l'hakel. What does that mean to the extent that it's only durabanan? So the Mishnah Berurah says, kagon, if it's only a question of 2,000, from 2,000, Amos up to 12 mil, which is for sure the Rabbanan, implying that there is something that's deraisa, right? It's implying that there is a din deraisa, and the Ramah continues and says, Miu imahaya holech b'derech zeh, if a person would travel this way by hopping on these posts, o al yidei kfitzas shame, or if he was able to use one of Hashem's holy names and with that fly, if he'd be able to do that, mitoch yud beis mil, chutz liyud beis mil, azlina l'chumra, and that would be machmer, and say, oh, that's in a sederaisa. Lamanda amar tchumin yud beis mil, havi deraisa. Okay, so I mean, the mashmos, the mechaber is that Here, let's just see what the Mishnah says about. Yeah, so the Mishnah Berurah says, Mishnah Berurah, Sifka, and Zayin. Umidivrei ha-machaber she-kasav. From the fact that Mechaber writes, Uma she-yiyah b'drabanan. When it's only involves the Rabbanan, then etc., etc. Mashma she-metzadeh ke la-alacha, that there is something that's not the Rabbanan b'tchuma. There is a concept of b'tchuma d'raisa. Okay.
The Ramah holds that would be a problem, even.
Well, I guess the Ramah really is just explaining it. He just says, if a person would do it, I think the L'chumad L'man da'amar. The Ramah just says, according to that man d'amar, you know. But I'm saying that if, as Mishnah Berurah says, the Mechaber is mashma, that he's passing that way.
But like the Torah, and the Rosh and the Torah, like were different Ashkenaz.
Yeah, so you would assume that the Ramah would not pass. Okay, but
Ashkenaz will not be allowed to fly.
The Gemara talks there about. Eliyahu Navi traveling that way, and the Gemara talks. The Gemara says also, there were some halachas that was set over in the Beis Medrash in one place on Shabbos, and somehow they heard about it in a different Beis Medrash, was far away on Shabbos. How did that happen? It must be someone could travel above the Tefachim. Take a look at the Gemara in the beginning of the fourth parak of Erevin. Okay. Anyway, so it's a shy lamaisa, but there's at least a strong tzad to say that tchumen of Yud Beis Mil is actually aser min hatera. Okay. Now, so you say, well, lamaisa doesn't in a normal case is not going to make enough gemina because you anyway have to stay within 1 mil, 2,000 amos, right? And even that they were saying that's the rabbanan, but. So in terms of like day to day, you know, regular Shabbos, it's not going to make a difference. But there are cases where it does. You mentioned a case of going to a hospital where maybe it could make a difference depending on what the tzorich is, or it might make a difference legabe things that arrived from very far away. If although that brings in another shaila, well, even if you say tchum yud beis milz daraisa, does that apply to your possessions as well? The tchum of 2,000 amas definitely applies, midrabanan definitely applies to your possessions as well. But if you hold tchum of yud beis milz daraisa, is that for people and possessions, or is that just for people, which is a separate discussion? Oh, hopefully we'll get to all these things.
You remember the shaila I asked a few weeks ago, my brother's suitcase?
Yes.
On Shabbos?
Right.
So that's
I recommend making hefker so that it doesn't get into any shaila.
He flew and his suitcase was on the plane, and he got us out on Shabbos.
Oh,
so we should make it hefker
before Shabbos.
Cause if it belonged to him, so it would have the same din as his tchum. So once it's hefker, it's not his.
It has no nichse hefker be held. Has no tchum. They could travel, without any restrictions. And therefore, yeah, I mean, the nafkamina really, well, a couple of nafkaminas, but we'll see. Okay, but yes, hopefully we'll get to these things. Okay, so moving on. So this, now, what about the, we're talking so far about Shabbos. What about the Gabbai Yom Tov? Is there Tchumen and Yom Tov? So definitely, there's definitely Tchumen and Yom Tov as far as of the Alpai Mama, for sure. It's a Mishnah, for sure, Mishnah Meseches Beitza, which is or otherwise known as Meseches Yom Tov, Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, that the Tchum, what we call Tchum Shabbos, applies in Yom Tov as well. There's a Shaila in the Poskim, like those who hold that Tchum is of Yud Beis Mil is Doraisa, is that on Yom Tov also, or is that only Shabbos? So there's a number of Achronim who say opinions about this. There's a tshuva from the Bach, Tshuvas Bach, Chadasha Simon Zion, that says, yet, on Yom Tov as well. If you hold Chum of Yud Beis Mil, is the rice, it's the rice on Yom Tov as well as Shabbos. And there are others that want to bring rice from the Tosis one way or the other. Okay. In any case, there's also a tshuva. I'll mention one more thing. The tshuva is Chassam Sofer. Tshuva is Chassam Sofer or Chaim Simen Kuf Mem Tes that also says Tchumen on Yom Tov is the same as Shabbos. Whatever it is on Shabbos, it's on Yom Tov. So that would mean that if you hold the Yud Beis Mil is Daraisa on Shabbos, Daraisa on Yom Tov as well. Okay. Now, The way Tchum typically works is that wherever a person is, Bein Hashmoshos, right, between the time of the setting of the sun and Tzeisah Kochav until it gets dark, where the person is then, that determines his Tchum. Meaning to say, that's it's called that he's Kone Shvita, Shvisa. His Kone Shvisa means he acquires a centralized location, vis-a-vis Hilchas Tchumen. That is his, wherever he is Bein Hashmoshos, that is his centralized location. And from there, we measure his Tchum. So, for example, if a person's in a place where he's not in the city, he's camping out for Shabbos out in a non-residential area, not civilized area, or right. So the din is he gets 2,000 amas, right? There's no city to measure the finish, but he gets 2,000 amas from himself or from his dalet amas. He gets 2,000 amas, and that's his tchum. Now the tchum, by the way, though, is square. We don't just like draw, you know, a radius from where he is, but we square it off so that he gets a little bit extra, really. You make a circle around him, and then we square off the corners so that technically, if he walks on the diagonal, it's a little bit more than Dalet Amos, right? The hypotenuse of a right triangle. It's a little bit more than the.
Mark Morisuka talks about that.
If a person started off Shabbos in an area that's surrounded by mechitzas, so then, just like he's allowed to carry within the mechitzas, which are. Properly constructed to permit carrying, so he's allowed to walk within that whole area as well, and that whole area is considered Dalet Amos, and he gets Tchum around that. Right, we go to the edge of the enclosed area, and from there he gets 2,000 Amos. Now we just and similarly, just like by carrying, the halacha is that if the area that's surrounded by mechitzas is larger than a certain size, what's called the base sasayim, it's more than 100 amas by 50 amas, then the din is it has to be mukaf ledira. Mukaf ledira means that the mechitzas that are around it are there to facilitate living. That they're there so that people could dwell within them. So as opposed to just mechitzas that are there for some other purpose. So here too, in order that the whole area is considered to be Dalet Amos, and that he measures his tchum from the edge of that area, if the area is larger than 100 by 50 Amos, it would have to be Mhukaf Ladira, and then we would measure there.
A huge farm would be an issue?
A huge farm?
Surrounded by like the...
With proper mechitzas, with the mechitzas.
Right, but it's not meant for living. It's just meant for like keeping things out. Like,
well, I don't know. It depends, because I suspect the person definitely probably has his house there as well, and other forms. Depends how you define hukaf. The hukaf theory is a shail. It's a very nogeh shail in hilchas eruvin as it is, because if you have an area that's more than 100 by 50, which is not considered a mokum dira, then it could ruin an Eruv also, unless you close it separately. But if you have an Eruv around the city, and within the city there's an empty area which is not used for Dira by any definition, and that area is more than 100 Amos by 50 Amos, then it's Mevatel, the whole Eruv is not valid. It's what's called a Karpef in it. You know, the only way to, you'd have to either somehow make that into a Mokum Dira or separately enclose it.
So, a water area
is a big question. I don't know, all these inyanim hilchos eruvin now, but that's a big shiloh. The water area is typically considered problematic, although there are different svaras to say that maybe it is considered dira for different reasons, depending what people do in it would do with the water if they do use the water. But so that's another sugya. So this may be discussed at a different time. All right, but if a person starts off in a city, he starts off within, he begins Shabbos within a city, then the halacha is, even if it doesn't have mechitzas around it, if you live in a city and there's no Erev, for example, if you have an Erev, a valid Erev, then that Erev is mechitzas. But if, let's say, you live in a city that has no Erev, so still the entire city is considered Dalet Ames, and his tchum only begins from the edge of the city. So what's called a city? How do you define a city? If there are no walls around it to define it. So the halacha is that as long as there are houses within a shear of 70 and 2/3 amas, that's called the shivim amav shirayim, 70 and 2/3 amas. If you have houses every 70 and 2/3 amas is another house, then it's still considered part of the city. And once you run into an area where you go that distance without any house, then that's already considered the edge of the city.
Is there a shiur for the size of the house? Let's say the things that they use to as a storage in the back, does that count like a house?
House would have to be dalet ames. The size is dalet ames.
Uh-huh. Okay. Any structure that it's for a mod and bigger counts as a house.
Well, I don't know, not necessarily any structure. It has to be something, you know, if a person just had, let's say, a place there that's never, not made for living, and it's, for some other reason. It's not, no one lives there, and it was never made for living, not necessarily.
Like a warehouse, it's not.
Well, that's not so partial, because that thing does count for this purpose. But let's say I'm talking about an empty place that's, it's not used for anything. It was, I don't know. They weren't necessary, but typically there are houses and buildings and stuff that are counted. As long as you live in a place where their houses and buildings are non-interrupted, and you keep for that distance, then that extends the dalet ames.
Approximately how many feet is that?
70 ames. Well, an ames is approximately, it's just a little over 22 inches, let's say. So a little less than one ames is a little less than 2 feet.
Right.
So 70 amas is...
It's not a very large measurement. Yeah. Like in the country, like, you have houses that are like...
Yeah, right.
But in a city, though, that's a big deal.
No, I think in a city, yeah, but like if you're saying, right, you go to like a bungalow colony and you need to go for like a walk.
So then what's a city in the mountains?
Right, so unless you have an area around it, so then, you could... or out in some, very rural areas. Suburban,
right,
areas.
Right, yeah. Like even some places, yeah. I mean, like up north over here, I can turn here, in Jupiter, Florida, like houses are very spread apart from each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now, so we said that the pasuk of Shvu Ish Tachtav. So he said, Shvu Ish Tachtav means Dalet Ames. So where's that Dalet? For what dinim is that Dalet Ames Nogeya? So one thing is, we mentioned already, if a person leaves his tchum, right? If a person leaves his tchum, then he loses the tchum, and he only has Dalet Ames. An exception to that is if a person went out to save a life. There's a mission that says that if a woman goes out to help another woman deliver a baby, or people go out to save others from a fire which is threatening the lives of people, and people go out to firefighters go out to put out the fire to save lives, or other types of of sakarnas nefashas situations, then the din is that they get a neutron. Wherever they end up, and they finally, they took care of the matter, and now they find themselves to be out of the tchum, so they're not allowed to go back. They're not necessarily allowed to go back to their old tchum. We'll see in a minute when they are, but they get a new tchum. Now they're considered to be now in the middle of a new 2,000 amas, and they can
so not stuck in his dalet ames.
Right, in those cases like that, where people went out to save lives, and was one other case also, people that went out for Kiddush HaChodesh. In the time when they had Eidim for Kiddush HaChodesh, so in order not to discourage people from going for these very vital purposes, so they gave him a din that they get a new tchum wherever they stop, and then there's halacha that if it turns out that when, let's say, this is the original, they started out in the middle here, this original tchum, and then they ended up over here, so they're out, you know, they're, right, let's say the tchum ends where the black sefer ends, right? And then they end up over here, and if you measure, you find out, oh, your 2,000 amas from here overlaps your original 2,000 amas, then you're allowed to go back, you know, to home. Let's say, just give it a kiss like that. He started out right in the middle of this black sefer, and he went out for, you know, Sakharnas Nefesh's reason to help, and he ended up beyond his tchum. He's past the edge. So he said, okay, when everything quiets down, he measures from where he is, and if it turns out that this overlaps into this area, then he can go all the way back home. Okay, that's called Havlas Tchum. Maybe we'll see halachas about that later. But otherwise, if a person went out for any other reason, and I said it before, that means even if he went out unintentionally or unwillingly, the din is he only has dalet amas. Now, there's a shaila how you measure those dalet amas, or actually what it means by dalet amas. Some say it means just four amas, like he's literally four amas. The halacha we hold that no, he's considered to be in the middle of dalet amas. He gets four amas in every direction, so it's not really four amas. It's a little bit more. It's eight amas plus again the diagonal. So right. But this is only as far as tchum is concerned. You know, there's halacha that a person is allowed to carry on Shabbos, right? Even if you're in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you're allowed to carry within four amas. Right? That's halacha. You can't carry out of dalet amas, a place where there's no air, if you're just in the middle of a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So you're allowed to carry still up to dalet amas, but one time, right? But only that's for sure only dalet amas. That's not eight amas. That's four amas. Like this din of tchum, that a person who's left his tchum, that he's confined to dalet amas. So the way we pass in lemais is that's not really dalet; it's really dalet amas in all around him.
Four dalet, four.
Yes.
Four more directions.
Right.
Whereas supposed to carry him would just be
four. You could just go there and then you're just only within the four amas. Four amas, not more.
So, I mean, just two in every direction. I mean, two amas.
Or no, you can go four from where you are.
Obviously, we couldn't go back.
Couldn't go right, exactly. Couldn't go behind you, right? Okay, when we said that it makes no difference why he left the tchum, whether he left it, you know, intentionally or not, meaning in either case in all those situations he loses his tchum, but there is a difference as far as the following, and that is if. First of all, let's say he ends up in a place that's surrounded by mechitzas. I mean, he was taken out of his he left his tchum, and he ended up in an area which is either just a fenced in area, a small fenced in area, or even a city. He ended up in another city which has mechitzas around it. The question is, are we going to say that entire area now is considered his tchum? Because we said before that when he starts Shabbos, wherever it is, let's say he's not in a city, but he's in an area that's surrounded with walls, the entire area is four amas, and he only measures his tchum from the edge of there. Because just like the gabi carrying, he's allowed to carry within there, it's dalet amas, the gabi tchum as well, wherever he starts. If not in the city, because if it's in a city, then we said we measure by the edge of the city. He's not in a city, but he's in a building or in a corral. He's in a fenced-in area, so the tchum is measured from the edge of the fence. So what happens in this case where he left his tchum and he ended up in a fenced-in area, or he ended up in a city with mechitzas around it? So then it will depend what was the circumstances under which he left. Why did he leave his tchum? Did he leave his tchum willingly, on his own? Or was he forced out of the tchum? A person left his tchum on Shabbos. We'll give it this. We're going to make Mechalik example. One guy, Maestro Shai, a friend of mine, told me that he was once, he was learning in Shiva in Eretz Yisrael, not in Yerushalayim, outlying areas, but this was like 40 years ago now. By now, maybe it's all built up. Or he was, but at that time, he was learning in a yeshiva, which was in a, you know, outside of the main areas where people lived. And on Shabbos, he decided to take a walk, and he wasn't, you know, really familiar with Hilchos. He was a yeshiva bachur back, you know, young yeshiva bachur. Like I said, this was 40 plus years ago. Yeah, maybe 50 years ago, I don't know. He's a young yeshiva bacher, and he didn't know too much about Hilchos Tchum or anything, or he didn't think about it. And he ended up walking to another yeshiva, wherever it was, and different, I don't know if it was a moshav, or I don't know exactly yet. But, and he walks in there, and says, where did you come from? I'm learning in such and such. I took a walk from that yeshiva. He says, you did? That's Chosel Chum. You're not allowed to walk. You can't walk in Shabbos from there to there. And he had no idea. But here he is, finds himself Chosel Chum. So now what's his din? It's Dalet Amos. So the question is, well, what does Dalet Amos mean? Does Dalet Amos mean literally four Amos or eight Amos? Or let's say when this, I don't know if they met him out in the street or if he walked into the building or if the campus was surrounded by an area, which it probably was. I don't remember any of those details. But that the question is, does that make a difference? Are we going to say that if it's surrounded by an Erev or if he's in a building, he has the whole area? Well, I'll give you another case.
What happened to him?
Was
he stuck in Dalet Amos?
Still there now.
Literally Dalet Amos, or did he have the, I honestly don't remember. I told you as much of the story as I remember. But I could call him and ask him if he wanted. Listen, back in Chicago. But my assumption is probably if the yeshiva campus is probably surrounded by an Erev, that's most likely. So I'll tell you another Maisha I remember. Maisha, I might speak about this one Shabbos morning, but that's irrelevant. This was a group of girls from Chicago during the summer who used to. They worked in a camp in South Bend. South Bend, Indiana, is about I think 2.5 hour drive from Chicago. And, you know, they have a small Jewish from community there, smaller from community. So they were working during the summer in a camp there, a day camp. And they would so they would go and they would spend the week there, and they would go home for Shabbos Friday. They would get a ride back with somebody back to Chicago and spend Shabbos at home and then go back, I don't know, probably Monday, Sunday or Monday, whatever. And what happened one Friday that they got a ride with, you know, a certain gentleman, and he had car trouble. And his car broke down when they were still in somewhere in Indiana. Out of South Bend, but somewhere in Indiana, and it was you know, whatever. I can't remember every detail, but the pertinent details was it was starting to get late, and the car wasn't getting, you know, whatever. If it's, I don't know if they make efforts to get the car fixed. Was it a tire issue? I don't know. But they were anyway. What I do know is it started to get late, and they realized that you know, we're it looks like we're, you know, we might be stuck here. And these, you know, it's a number of girls with, I think, one man. And it's not on the side of a road, or even if it's in a gas station, you know, but in Indiana somewhere off a highway. So they were in touch with their parents, and so the parents of one of the girls knew a couple, I think a little bit older couple that lived somewhere around that area, and they asked them. He says, you know, look, our daughter's there with some friends, and it's getting like, doesn't look like they're going to make it back to Chicago. Is it possible you could pick them up before Shabbos and take them to your house, and they'll spend Shabbos with you? Whatever. So they said, oh, absolutely, we'll take care of it. So it took a while. Finally, when a car came for them, it was already Shabbos, or close to Shabbos. By the time they got into the car, it might have been Shabbos Mamish, but they felt, you know, they couldn't stay on the side of a road or in a gas station. A number of young girls, even with one man, it's not safe to do that. So the people had sent, they'd sent a car with a non-Jewish driver to drive them, and they thought that he was going to take them to their, you know, to the house of these people in Indiana. Anyway, they're driving for a while, and finally the man says, okay, so where do you live exactly? Which neighborhood in Chicago?
Oh,
and he said, Chicago, what do you mean? Oh, yeah, they told me I should drive you home to Chicago. So, all right. So now probably had they gone to wherever this place in Indiana, they'd probably also be out of the Tchum, because if they're on the side of the highway, wouldn't make it. But now they're for sure. They ended up in Chicago. So he brought them. They said where they, well, at least where one of them lived. You know, most of the girls lived in one neighborhood. One girl lived in the other neighborhood. But they gave him one address, and he dropped them off in front of the house of in front of one of the houses there. So now the shaila was, well, they only have Dalet Amos, right? They left the Tchum. Purpose, non-purpose.
12 mil also.
Left 12 mil for sure. The question is, could they budge? Do they have just Dalet Amos on the street now? Now I guess Nick also against the issue. Maybe it's not safe. Okay, but it was a little bit safer if they're right in front. Well, okay, well, not this, depends where in Chicago. Also, they're right in front of their parents' house now, so, you know, there could be more of a people keeping an eye on them. It's not like being stuck on a highway somewhere where you don't know anybody. So the question, now, I don't remember if the Erev was up in Chicago then or not, because this happened a long time ago. When I moved to Chicago, there was no Erev. I don't remember if there was an Erev. If there was no Erev, then they can't move. More than that. Now, there is a halacha, though, if a person needs to use the bathroom, so then he's allowed to go to a private place, and once he's there, he's there. So that would eventually going to happen. But I don't remember exactly what happened. I just remember the idea that I think there was an Erev, but it wasn't connected, you know, to the other neighbor. And one of the girls lived in the other neighborhood, so that she couldn't even, you know, go home. And I'm sure she was able to contact. This was before cell phone, so I didn't know if she was able to contact her parents about it. Okay, because so that was another, like Meister Shai, remember, they ended up coming in from out of the Tchum on Shabbos. So these things happen.
Wow.
These things happen. Okay, so now we'll have to wait for the excitement. What happens? Do you go, well, I sort of gave it a little bit. Well, some cases you get Dalet Amos, some cases you get the whole enclosure, and some cases you don't. So hopefully we'll pick it up with that. But you know, I hope I'll look it over a little bit in advance next time, so a little more organized. I just was so busy this time.
So if they have